Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
It's not the ribbons in your hair.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Monday to you. If you are tuning in by way of YouTube or Facebook, you can see on the screen, we have a very special guest in today. We have our pal Rennie Knott, formerly of KSDK. Here's kind of what's going on. We were supposed to interview Rennie about an hour ago and then run it taped, but things lagged a little bit and took a little longer, so Rennie was kind enough just to go on air with us live. It's good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
We've talked a little bit over the weekend, but this first time we've seen each other face-to-face. We can go as long as you want. We can talk about anything you want. I think a lot of people have read the St. Louis Magazine article now by Sarah Finsky, so they've seen some of the issues and allegations and such, so just talk to me, brother.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me in and to be a part of this. It is odd to hear you say former KCK.
Right.
You know, it's been the life for 21 years. It's been why I wake up. It's how my kids went to college. It's how we became a part of this community. So to look at it now and think that's a chapter done and it's time to turn the page to something new is scary. It's extremely scary. It's been so long since I haven't worked in television, since 1987. I don't know anything else. And I don't know what I'm qualified to do if I'm not doing what I do. Having said that, I am looking very forward to what's new, what's next, where we go from here. As far as the article and what went down, you'd never know how public of a person you are until something like this happens and your life is out there. When it should be a private matter, my wife and I, my family, you know, things are said and it's out there like, wow. So that's been very difficult to deal with. Just the idea of not work has been difficult to deal with because waking up every morning was purpose. Waking up every morning knowing that I was going to talk to this person, I'm going to do that, and then I got this story set up, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be there. That's the energy. That's what I love so much about this and why I've loved about being on the side of doing the news as opposed to doing the sports, because doing the news, I got to meet the everyday people of St. Louis. Those who are doing things that, wow, you do that and you work a 9-to-5? You mean you do the roller derby on the weekends, get all beat up, and then you go and you're a receptionist on the weekdays? So that's my energy. I love doing that. So obviously everybody knows that I'm not there. There was what you could call an HR issue, I guess. That's how they slugged it. I was called on the Thursday night 2 weeks ago now. I had just gone out and done an event for Hope Creates, and I just gotten home. I don't normally am up that late, but I was off the next day that Friday. And the new news director calls me, and he says, you can't, you know, you can't come into work tomorrow. I know you got a PTO, but don't even think about coming in for anything else. You can't come in. HR is going to call you. Something happened today. I'm going, okay. So that night, I did not sleep. All I did was try to figure out, what did I do? What did I say? I'm going through all the annals of my mind, and I can't figure out anything, fathom anything. So the next day, I finally get, hey, I'm going to call you at 4 o'clock, whatever. Can we do a Zoom? I said, well, I don't have Zoom. I just have my phone. Well, let's do a FaceTime. Okay. So I guess to do a FaceTime is to sort of gauge my physicalness, how I'm responding, my body language. And I think at the same time is to make sure nobody else is listening to the conversation. So I get the call, and it wasn't even on January 3rd this happened, on September 15th this happened. It was, did you say this? Did you say anything about a gun? Did you say that you were going to do that? And I'm going, no. I go, was there conversations about guns? I'm sure there were conversations about guns. I don't have a gun, never had a gun, don't want a gun. So I'm not shooting anything or anything like that. I don't know what the context of the conversation was. All I know is you're asking me if I ever say anything about guns. What about this AK-47? I go, again, I don't have a gun. I don't know where that comes from. If anything, I was probably saying, I don't know where these kids get these type of weaponry around the St. Louis area. And to even think that somebody would take something like that just to take out a bunch of people all at once is just mind baffling to me. But this comes down to, okay, well, did you ever say this? Did you ever say you're going to kick somebody's butt? And I go, we say that all the time to each other. And just, Dave, I'm going to kick your butt. Because you said something, I'm going to kick your butt. Oh my God, really? A 61-year-old man's going to walk across the room on the set and just start pummeling somebody or attempt to pummel somebody? And let's be realistic. In all the time that I've been there, I've never exemplified that type of personality. I have spent my time giving to the community, doing the stories. I've never been to HR. I never had a write-up. All of my, phone call just came in. All of my reviews have all been exemplary. I've never not had a new contract. I've always been approached long before the contract ever ends to renew the contract. And I said, yeah, because I love it here. This is what, you know, I want to, where I want to be and who I want to do it for. So for this to come up the way it did without really any recourse on my part, any true, what I would call due process in the sense of, well, we heard about this in June, so let's address it here. We heard about this in July, let's address it here. It was like, boom. And again, I'm just trying to figure out where all this came from and everything else. So that happens. And then she texts me yesterday on Sunday and says, hey, we talked to a coworker who said, you said, would you like to respond? Because, you know, we're going forward with this. I go, well, yeah, because you don't even have any idea of where I am in this or what I said. So I talk with her. I said, everything's on the record. I'm going to be free and swinging. And the idea that I was getting from her was the perception that I was some stressed out person. And I go, I'm not stressed out whatsoever. The person you're talking to now, who should be stressed out, is the same person that you would have always talked to. This is who I am, very calm demeanor. I have nothing to hide. So we talked and everything else. And, you know, through the course of the conversation, she goes, you know, I know you're a good person and I know things are going to happen for you. So, you know, don't worry about that. A lot of people believe in you. Thank you. You know, then, you know, I tell my wife and my daughter, of course, they're high strung. They're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What does that mean for your future? If someone's accusing you of that, because if people accuse you of that, it takes a look at your character. It takes a look at your mental status. And how do you prove that mentally I'm not in that unstable environment? And at the same time, you all know me. Are you kidding me? So the conversations I've had since then with people, everybody is like, well, we don't believe that. And, you know, we believe in you and blah, blah, blah. And it's been beautiful. It really has been beautiful to hear. But I'm still feeling like crap. I'm at my lowest low that I can think of since I stopped playing football in college. My last game was in 1986. So that gives you how long ago that was. But I'm still here. I'm still alive and have all my faculties. So, you know, let's try to figure this out.
Yeah.
And I, got all my bills that have to still be paid.
Yeah.
So let's try to figure this out.
So, Rennie, obviously you've spent the last few days putting this puzzle together, taking it apart, putting it together hundreds of times. What do you think happened?
You know, we're going through so much change right now. And a lot of that change has to do with potential buyout. It has to do with, you know, new people coming in and all that. And I think it's an environment where you're trying to, and especially our morning show, you're trying to improve the morning show. And I don't think anybody wants to be the blame for it not being what it should be. Everybody wants to be the instrument that gets it to where it needs to go. I've always tried to be a positive person in that. So I don't, nothing's like this ever happened. So it's hard for me to try to even figure it out as how does it come? Because I would never think that someone was out to get me or someone thought negative of me or didn't want to be on my team, didn't think I played fair, thought I was not a nice person. I'm going, I don't get it. And so I'm still playing it through my mind as to how we got to where we are now. I do know that of all the people who started, who were on the morning show when I was there, when I started in 2016, I was the last one left. And, you know, maybe it's about changing the covers and putting on a new bed sheet and, you know, these people are sleeping in the bed now, so let's make this work. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I just felt really emotionally bad that someone would think that I was that person. I mean, I'm okay with you saying, hey, look, we want to part ways. All right, I understand that much. But for that to be part of your reasoning, I'm just going, yeah. Where does this come from?
So we both do similar things for a living, and we both know that while every workplace can be very tight, media and shows are usually especially tight.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are my family.
Yes.
And I say stupid stuff in front of them all the time. Right? Right? And I just know they have my back.
Right.
Do you think it could be an instance of someone didn't get the memo? They didn't know that people kid around like that?
So I think that that's a part of it. I think the context of what was said was taken out of context. I think it was just the words. And that's what I was told, was the words that were used, the company does not tolerate. And I said, okay, but do we know why the word was used or how it was being used? Because you're not telling me that. You're saying I use these words. And I'm going, and she, and I remember she saying this real, I said, I didn't realize that I was, you know, the sensitivity of the situation. She goes, it's not the sensitivity of the situation. It's the, basically the way people are going to take it with their concern. Like, those are concerning words. And I'm going, yeah, but I would think that somebody would know, gosh, I've been here all this time and I'm there every day, that I'm not someone that's going to do any of the stuff that I'm being accused of. But never did we go down that conversation. It was just, well, you said this because that person said you said it.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break here. Rennie Knott is with us, and he's with us as long as he wants to be today, just talking about what happened, what didn't happen. Quick break, right back, DGS and KMOX.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Dave Glover Show on KMOX. My guest in studio live is Rennie Knott. If you're living in St. Louis, especially if you're involved in the media, you've seen it on social media. And Sarah Finsky came out with an article over the weekend, St. Louis Magazine. And Rennie's talking very candidly and openly about what happened, what didn't happen. There were some allegations from coworkers, evidently. Rennie talking about guns or stabbing or kicking someone's ass. CTE, which we're going to get into here in a second. Rennie, let me ask you this. When it came up, because we've all had things like this happen, not just like this. We've all had things where you're like, I don't know about that. Did you think immediately or perhaps over time, okay, I remember talking to Mitch and I was upset, maybe this, or is it just like, I just have no idea?
It's more of, I don't have any idea, because the way things were written, they're written to make it sound like I'm threatening, being ominous. And I go, I'm not a threatening or ominous person. And I also know, too, that you don't threaten someone at work. You don't threaten people, period. So that was never the case. I'm just guessing that, and again, I'm just guessing because I'm not the other person. You've heard another conversation, picked out of the conversation what you thought you heard, and that became the alarm. That became the concern. I know that people can watch while we're on the, not on the air, but in between commercial breaks. Maybe you're seeing something there. Maybe you thought you saw something there. I really don't, you know, just because I never thought about it. I never took into consideration that, oh, something you say to Kevin was going to be used by Rachel to then tell Dan, you know, it's just going to be this thing that all of a sudden now I'm in trouble because someone overheard. It's like that they used to do called post office.
Telephone.
You know, I tell you something, then you tell me something. The story never ends up being the same all the way around.
Yeah.
That's why context is always important. So when you write a story, I do a story. And I might like this soundbite. I mean, that soundbite really worked well over here. And I go, but that soundbite is not a part of the context of that sentence. That soundbite is from something else. So you can't use that there. You can find a way down the line to write it so it drops in there, but you cannot screw up the timeline. You cannot screw up the truth. You cannot screw up the context of what something is. You see it a lot where someone can take a soundbite, drop it over here, and it sounds like that person's being a jerk, when really that person was responding to something else. And so that's why it's when I kept asking these questions, well, what was the conversation and why? And I was never addressed. So I just kind of left. And then people asked me, well, then why did you resign? Why? I go, well, think about it. I've done all this for this long, been what I would consider a model citizen, you know, good reviews and everything else. Why then would I want to continue to work with people that I feel don't trust me or I can't trust them? Why would I want to be in an environment now where I'm going to have to wonder, well, who said what and why and who's out to get me or why is it happening the way it is? So
what has this done to your heart?
Oh, jeez. I mean, it what it does to my heart, and this is the one that, you know, initially I'm just kind of in shock, okay, and then I hadn't told my wife simply because, I mean, how am I going to tell her? So she left to go to work, and while she's at work, the first St. Louis Magazine article comes out, so I couldn't even control who was going to learn when they learn. It comes out. Well, then people are texting her, and she doesn't even know. So she immediately calls me. I mean, my daughter, who lives in Columbia, texts my wife, who then calls me. And she's like, why do you? And I kind of explain it to her. And she comes home and she just starts bawling because she doesn't want to move. She doesn't want to leave here. You know, what is that going to mean to, you know, being here, being a part of this? That was, and it still is, the hardest thing. You know, it's hard for me to look at her with a confidence that it's all going to be okay, because I don't know myself, at least not right now. I have ambitions. I have, you know, ideas, whether or not those all come to be. You look at our landscape now when it comes to broadcasting. We talk about podcasts and all that stuff. Everybody does those things. Mm-hmm. You know, how are you going to do something that's going to stand out from the rest? It's that, and it's every day. It's my head spins, and I slept last night. I think I went to bed. It must have been it was during the football game. It's around 8:30, 9 o'clock maybe, and I went to bed, and I was asleep. And then my wife came in with the dogs, and I woke up, and I tried to go back to sleep, and then my head starts going. So I've probably been up now since 4:30, 5 o'clock, just a head spinning, just trying to figure out where am I going to be in, you know, November when Thanksgiving gets here. Where am I going to be? So to backtrack for a second, back to 2003. So 2003, I worked at WGLA-TV as a sports director at WGLA in Washington, D.C. My contract was coming up, healthy contract. I was then being courted by the Crosstown station owned by Gaudette, which used to own Channel 5, about coming over there. So at the time, I have a one-year no-compete clause. Well, once my station found out that I had talked to them, you've got like 24 hours to sign this contract or we're pulling it back. And over here, I'm waiting for this guy to draw something up. So I didn't sign this one with JLA. That gets pulled back. They find out I've talking to over to this guy over here, and then they offer me half. And News Director even says to me, I you know, we're responsible a lot for you making what you make right now, but you know, right now we just want to pay you half. I'm like, 24 hours ago, you're ready to pay me what I was making. I go back to over here, and he says, well, you know, we can't have you sit out for a year non-compete, so you know, I can't hire you right now. Whoa, wow, okay. So now you're in the middle of Thanksgiving. Like, my parents are coming in for Thanksgiving. They live in Las Vegas. They're coming to D.C., and there's like this, don't say anything to anybody because you're still working. Don't say anything. So eventually he says, well, what about St. Louis, which is how I ended up coming here, doing an interview, and get hired. But that was the last time I felt this type of despair where I don't know what's going to happen next. And you don't know who to talk to, who to reach out to, who to take advice from. It's almost like it's all internal. Well, now there's more people around me that are not offering, but suggesting things and all of that. So we'll see where it goes from here. But it has been easily the lowest that I've felt, especially coming off the high of being in Paris covering the Olympics, anticipating being in Milan to cover the Olympics in February. All of a sudden, it's like, bam, bottom just dropped off. In fact, it was just 3 weeks ago, NBC sent me my tickets for Milan. That I'm taking the NBC charter out of LaGuardia and flying right into Milan. Oh, this is great. Looking forward to this. And wow, gone.
Can you do one more segment with us?
I can do whatever you want.
All right, we're
nowhere to go.
Here with our friend Renny Knott. Quick break, right back. DGS and KMOX. Welcome back, DGS and KMOX, talking to our friend Renny Knott here. So we've been talking about half an hour, and so far what we've established is that Renny was blindsided by this, didn't see it coming at all. HR brought up some language that he was accused to have used about guns and stabbing someone or kicking someone's butt, talking about his concerns about his own CTE. And that was all kind of put together into one package, and some people aren't comfortable, and we have to separate, and here we are. So I applaud you. I think you're doing the right thing, you know, talking about it, getting out in front of it. Are you worried at all about being so public about it and what happened?
No, because I think by not being public about it, then what is the lesson someone else can learn? And I think someone who's listening can say, oh, I say things in the office that I'm thinking I'm only talking to this guy, but there's another room of people who could probably hear me. I better be careful of what I say and what I do. I also hope that people understand that just because somebody wronged you doesn't mean you should go wrong them. In other words, just because I'm no longer at Channel 5, I'm not going to take the time to go, I'm going to tell you something about the people over there. No. As I was just saying before we came on, Channel 5 gave me 21 of the best years in broadcasting I've had, especially as the era of television broadcast has changed. Now, in D.C., we traveled. We did a lot of things because in those days, people had fat pockets and you were on location. Now it's a matter of doing things where it's a Zoom call and it's a this, it's a that. They don't travel as much. But I've been to Athens, Greece. I've been to London, England. I've been to Pyeongchang, South Korea. Just came back from Paris to cover the Olympics because they felt that I could do that for them. And to cover the Olympics, I covered the Olympics by myself. I was my own camera person, editor, writer, storyteller, story finder, whatever you want to call it. One man band. It was a huge challenge, but a great energy to have. And man, I look forward to that every day that I woke up over there. Let's go. Let's go. Same thing when I was in Pyeongchang. Same thing in the other two. But had it not been for Channel 5, I would not have been a part of that. I was asked, because I was at that time on the morning show, to go to Boston for Game 7 for the Stanley Cup. Okay. So I go to Boston Stanley. You know, I'm not the sports guy anymore. Now I feel kind of out of place. But gosh, to be a part of that when it happened, to be embraced, and then to be a part of the parade, incredible stuff. So I look at, you know, the World Series championships with the Cardinals, the demise of the Rams even, and trying to ride that thing. It was incredible. Incredible. When I moved to news and to be able to tell the stories of the everyday person, their inspirations and why they do what they do, it made me understand the people of St. Louis. Because when you do sports, you understand the fan and the passion, but you don't understand the people. You don't understand the people who work hard and then do this or take their hard-earned money and buy that ticket to go see the Cardinals. And now you have an understanding as why they bash the team the way they do, if that is warranted. So I don't look at it in any way as far as a negativity. I just feel bad that you leave without getting the gold pocket watch. You don't leave on your terms. You don't get to say goodbye. You don't have the cake. You don't have the luncheon. It's just you were here yesterday, and now anything about you is gone. You're not on a website. You're probably not in any videos they have. Like I said, I had four boxes arrive at my door on Friday, and that was my life from my desk.
So you're handling it very well, but do you have no animosity, or you're just handling it?
I mean, I would just say this about when I say animosity. The only animosity I have is that I feel as if I trusted people and believed in people, and to think that someone felt that way about me hurts. I mean, I guess in that way I'm very sensitive, and I always have been, that I want approval, and I thrive on it. If someone says, hey, you did a great job, I want to do some more. And so now to look back and feel that people thought I was that guy, and that hurts. That hurts a lot. To think that, well, I don't know if betrayed's the right word or whatever, but just that I thought I was being a certain way and someone took it another way, and I have no way to take it back and go, well, let's fix this road. Let's make this path a lot better because we're all going down this together.
What would you have said?
I think if someone confronted me about that, and hopefully it would be, here's what the context was and what the statement was, I would apologize for if that offended them or became a concern for them. I would then say, well, here's what I meant and why. And then I wouldn't do it again. I now know, okay, that's a little much for this area, that person, that conversation, because what I don't want to have is for that person to feel uncomfortable and then for me to feel uncomfortable. I was going to work. I get there 1 o'clock in the morning. There's very few people there. And I don't want someone to go, oh my God, here he comes. I want to go, hey, Rennie, how you doing? Good to see you. How was your weekend? It was great. And go do my thing.
What would you like to say to your fans, to the people of St. Louis?
I mean, the outpouring that I have received is, I don't even think overwhelming is the right word to use. It's just been a lot where I never thought people felt, or that many people felt that way. And man, it's been everything to keep me afloat, keep me feeling like, okay, you're going to be all right. You're going to make it through. There's a lot of people believe in you. And I thank them. And I'm sorry that it came to this, and it came to it in this way, because I am not that person. I've never been that person. And I'm pretty sure if you know me or met me or been around anything I've been around, you know that I don't portray anything along those lines. I don't carry myself in that manner. I always told my kids that I don't care who you are, where you are, you talk to everybody along the way. And that's from the guy that's emptying the trash can to the president of the company. Everybody's treated the same way. You don't have to worry about kissing anybody's behind. You just smile. You make eye contact. You let them feel like they are human. And that's the way I try to treat people.
So this isn't something you ever wanted, but the fact is now you're free.
Mm-hmm.
You can do anything you want to do. You're young.
Yeah.
You got plenty left
in
the tank.
I'm not that young.
Hey, you're my age. You're young.
Okay, we're young.
We're young.
We're vibrant.
What attracts you?
What attracts me is what I've been doing. And that's the hard part, is I've only done this. And I do it for a reason, look forward to it. The storytelling part of it is the most intriguing thing. And is there a way to tell the stories in a grander format, in a bigger, instead of a minute 30, maybe a 5 minute or a 3 minute or whatever, give it time to breathe, let the people tell their stories. If I had opportunity to be on an anchor desk again, man, whew, yeah. Yeah. There is an adrenaline rush with being able to communicate what's going on that day to the audience that's watching. And those audiences are changing, and streaming is a bigger deal, and obviously podcasting is a bigger deal. So whatever that becomes, I'm open to all of it because I haven't been open to all of it till now.
Yeah.
Why not experience it?
Anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to get off your chest or address? Anything unsaid?
I don't think so. I know that moving forward, the accusations are going to be ones that are going to raise questions and eyebrows. And I'm just saying, hey, watch me. That's all I can say. Watch me and pay attention to what I say and what I do. And let's look at me that way. Not from what this conversation was, not from what this breakup was, but where it moves forward. And here's something that I said when we first sat down. I said, you know, you put all your efforts into a job thinking that this job is going to be mine forever. If something ever happens to you, the next day they're plotting the next person, not plotting, but looking for the next person to replace you, and somebody's cleaning out your desk. Time marches on. That no one has that type of importance. And until it happens to you, you really don't, because you think, I bust my butt, I do this job, I'm going to be okay. And wow, no, not necessarily. So that's the eye-opening part that I hope other people could take from it too.
Well, until you find a place to land, and you will, you have a temporary home here, KMOX DGS. You come on once a week and just hang out.
Sure.
Keep your name out there.
Sure.
Keep your chin up, buddy.
I'm keeping my chin up, and I even considered shaving. My wife said no. Because your face doesn't look good without that.
So Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet.
Ooh.
To help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.